This evening, I'd like us to look at Romans chapter 8, very famous chapter and very famous text, but in particular, we'll be starting in verse 35. But Romans chapter 8, I invite you to turn there if you'd like to follow along. And before, or as we begin, I just want to think through, how do you view victory and defeat in the Christian life? How do you view victory and defeat when it comes to the Christian life? I'm continually made aware in my own heart, and then even as I speak with others, how off so many times our view of what the Christian life should look like, how that view is in our heads versus how it compares to Scripture. And I have an image in my head of victorious Christianity being really when things are going well. And when things are very difficult, I feel defeated. And when things are going well, I feel victorious and that God's hand of favor and love is upon me. And that doesn't really work very well in the Christian life, does it? And it doesn't really work very well, really, because it's not in accord with the reality of how God sees these things. We are not to view our lives this way. And part of what brought this to a head for me a little bit was I was reading through James Holla's book, Pain, The Plight of Fallen Man. And he is a doctor who's also a biblical counselor who's addressing the issue of chronic pain in the lives of people, particularly in the lives of believers, as that's his specialty in his field as a doctor. And reading through him processing really a theology of pain confronted me squarely with the different view that I have of what it means to live victoriously as a Christian. And part of what struck me was one particular verse, Romans 8:37. He says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." And so that's the phrase that I'll really be keying in on tonight. But let's look at the passage in a little bit wider context. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amazing words from the Apostle Paul about how God views life and how we are to view it as well. We come to verse 35 where this question is asked, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Who shall separate us from Christ's love? And this is really a climactic question as Romans chapter 8 has been unfolding. If you remember just a few verses earlier, Paul raises the question, "Who is against us?" And his answer is, "God is for us, so who can be against us?" Then his question, "Who shall bring any charge against God's elect?" And his answer, "It is God who justifies. Who is going to bring a charge against us?" And then he says, "Who is he that condemns?" And he reminds us that it's Christ who himself is actually interceding for us. And then he brings it to this climactic question, well then who could separate us from Christ's love? And then he goes on with this list, and essentially what he's saying is, do these things separate us from the love of Christ? He says tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, and sword. That list describes many aspects of this life that we live as fallen creatures here in a fallen world, but then also as those who are seeking to serve the Lord in a fallen world. and the things that he brings up, tribulation or difficulties that come upon us, distress. You can think of the distresses that you face in this life, particularly because you're a believer seeking to walk in the ways of God. Persecution is those people rally against us because of our faith, and it can take many different forms. But then also famine and nakedness and danger, these difficulties of poverty that may come upon us, times of being in want, danger in the sword, which we have been protected from so much in our country, but so many around the world, because of their faith, are in danger, and the sword is even levied against them. Shall any of these things separate us from the love of Christ? No. And then he goes on and gives us a picture of this suffering from the Old Testament. It's a direct quotation from Psalm 44:22. He says, "As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." I've read through this passage many times. I've even used it in counseling others to remind them of the love of Christ. And I always wanted to skip over this verse because it didn't really make sense to me what Paul is doing. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? We're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. And then kind of back to the love of Christ again. Nothing shall separate us from God's love. How does this fit? Well, Paul is giving a quote from Psalm 44, verse 22. And part of what he's reminding us of is that afflictions have always been part of the experience of the people of God. And in this particular psalm, the people of Israel are crying out to the Lord because in this particular instance, they have not sinned against the Lord, and yet they are experiencing much affliction. And they're crying out to the Lord saying, "Why are we experiencing all this suffering when we have been faithful to your covenant? Many times we have been unfaithful, but this time we're talking to you about how we have sought to live in a way that's pleasing to you. And yet look at this affliction that is upon us." And it says that these sufferings are for your sake, for Yahweh's sake. They're not directly a result of the wrongdoing of the people of God, but instead, this suffering has come upon them in some way because they are seeking to live as those who fear Yahweh. And so what this passage is doing, as Paul quotes it here for us, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he zooms out and says, to the world it looks like this. This is the experience of the people of God, that we are being killed all the day long before a watching world, that we are viewed as sheep to be slaughtered, as the unbelieving world looks in upon us and sees us as fearers of the Lord, given over to great difficulty. But it reminds us that that great difficulty is for your sake. It is because we are the Lord's people, and we are those who are actually loved by him. And so what Paul is doing here is he's giving us a picture of what this suffering looks like to the watching world, what it looks like apart from the eyes of faith. But then on the heels of this quote, which makes us kind of wonder, do we want to be part of the people of God, killed all the day long, regarded as sheep to be slaughtered? But then he helps us see these realities through the eyes of faith. In verse 37, "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Remember the initial question? Do these things, that list of difficulties, do these somehow separate us from God's love? And Paul emphatically says, no, they don't at all. It's not as it appears. There is an appearance of the contrary that is taking place. We look like sheep to be slaughtered, but in reality, what are we instead? We are more than conquerors. We are super conquerors. It's this idea of victory placed in the superlative. You can't say it any stronger. You're incredible conquerors. How can he say this? What does it mean that we are more than conquerors? Well, first of all, we're conquerors because these situations that look like defeat to the watching world, and may even feel like defeat to us, these situations are actually the victory itself. These hardships, persecution, famine, danger, the sword, they appear to defeat the people of God. The watching world looks upon and says, regarded as sheep to be slaughtered, and yet it is not defeat. Death has been robbed of its sting by the work of Christ, and these afflictions, rather than destroying the people of God, actually confirm the people of God. Like in the movies, when you see a tiny army that's outnumbered by this great foe, and then when the battle is over, that tiny army is somehow still standing. They have conquered what was unthinkable. They have not been overcome. They have actually endured through this great difficulty. And in that sense, we as the people of God will not be conquered by these things. We will be able to endure these things, even if that's all the way to death itself. We will not be overcome by any of these difficulties. And in that sense, we are conquerors in the face of that which is so difficult. But Paul doesn't just say that we are conquerors and just able to endure these things and not overcome by these things, but he says that we are more than conquerors, super conquerors. How can that be? Well, it's because not only are we not defeated by these enemies and these things, but these things actually are used by God for our very good. This onslaught of evil and difficulty that we are still able to stand up under by God's incredible grace is not just left at that. Look, they endured, but look, they are more than conquerors because God, by his love, has worked out his purpose in us, not only sustaining us in this struggle, but using that very struggle to make us victorious, conforming us more and more into the very image of Christ. And those are the truths that we know so well from the verses earlier, Romans 8, 28, and 29. It's Paul reaffirming those same truths, but in a different way. Romans 8, 28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. All things, including that list of difficult things that Paul writes here. But then also he goes on to explain the good that these things are working. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Rather than being evidences of God's displeasure, these very difficulties in which we walk are evidences of his love. His love is what sustains us in the midst of these difficulties, and then it's his love that also will transform us in the midst of these difficulties, so that we can, on the other side, not be defeated, but able to endure. And even more than that, we can come out on the other side more like Christ, to the praise of his glorious grace. We are super conquerors because of the loving purpose of God. And then he goes on and says, "For I am sure," in verse 38, "that neither death nor life, angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." What Paul is saying here is these difficulties of this life, when seen through the eyes of faith, are not testimonies of the lack of God's love or of personal defeat, as we so often think that they are, but rather they are evidence of the fact that his love makes us super conquerors through these difficulties. We're not destroyed by adversity, but we're victorious. And it's not merely a victory of enduring and not being defeated, but it's triumph, as in it, God's perfect purpose is worked in us. Are you facing trials and adversity in your life? So he talks about hardships and distresses, and we think of the Apostle Paul's lists of the difficulties that he endured in gospel ministry. We think of the great lists of difficulties that the people of God have endured throughout generations. Are you facing the difficulties of this life? Are you viewing them according to what is seen, or are you viewing them through the eyes of faith? If we regard trials as we see them, then all it appears is that we are just sheep to be slaughtered, that we are going off on a way of destruction and that God's favor is against us. But if we view them through the eyes of faith, we see a God who is at work making us super conquerors, as these things will not defeat us ultimately. Remember in the book of Revelation, as the martyrs are those who are the ones who have overcome. That death is actually victory somehow in this incredible gospel paradox of what God is doing. We cannot be overcome by these things, but even more so as we endure, we can be trophies of God's grace and conform to the image of Christ. It takes faith to believe that as we walk through the midst of these difficulties and as we walk with others through these difficulties, it takes faith to believe that we are more than conquerors. And the Lord wants to increase your faith tonight for you to see his conquering work happening even in your life, even in the darkest of difficulties. And he does that through his word, as we have considered this passage, but then he also does that through the visible proclamation of his word as well. And as we partake of the bread and of the cup, we are reminded of Christ's conquering work. To the world, it was foolishness. To the world, it was unthinkable. The Passover lamb slaughtered on a cross, the complete display of weakness and frailty, the Son of God becoming a curse for us on a tree. Yet in that great weakness, the very power of God was on display. Paul, speaking of the cross work of Christ, says, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and he put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. That on the cross, our enemies were conquered and put to shame through his work. Through his life, death, and resurrection, he has conquered our enemies. And now his conquering power is at work in us as well. Jesus' words to the church at Laodicea in Revelation 3:21, "To the one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne." It's an incredible thing. He has gone before us and conquered, and he calls us to that conquering work, which looks far different than we often think it will look. It's actually following in the way of the cross, in weakness and foolishness and suffering, on the way to one day glory. The same faith that makes us see the foolishness of the cross as the very power of God is the same faith that can help us see the difficulties of this life as testimony to the unconquerable love of God that we have in Christ. And it helps us to see ourselves as super conquerors as he works in us by his very love. Let me pray, and then we will receive this together. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would forgive us for how often we see this world and our lives apart from the eyes of faith. We thank you that you have helped us to see the foolishness of the cross as the very power of God. As we place all of our hope in the work that Christ has done on our behalf, Lord, we pray that you would strengthen our faith this evening. Remind us afresh of your unconquerable love. Remind us that the difficulties that we face cannot separate us from your love, but in fact are actually a testimony of you being at work in our hearts, conforming us to the image of Christ. Will you give us strength in the midst of adversity and difficulty? Will you help us to walk in the ways of our Savior as he has gone before and conquered our enemies for us? We thank you that we can partake of this tonight as victorious people because of the victorious work of our Savior. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.